Hey everyone, this is Brandon Lyles. My wife Heidi and I pastor Living Word Northwest in Rogers, Minnesota. We hope what you're about to hear encourages you no matter what you're facing this week. We believe you'll experience Jesus wherever you're listening from right now. Enjoy the message.
I think we're good. You guys ready to get into the Word this morning? Hallelujah. All right. Let's start in Colossians chapter 1. If you want to open your word with me this morning. Colossians chapter 1. This is going to be good this morning because God has not let me let go of this scripture. I'm not going to move on from something for the sake of creativity or having, you know, something new and entertaining for you, because I'm not here to entertain you, believe it or not. I'm catching a little feedback from this mic. If we could adjust that, it would help me. I'm like blind as a bat, but I can hear like a bat. It's really weird. So one thing Pastor Jim always told me, he got it from his mom, Pastor Lynn. They're like, I don't care if you do one song a week, every single service. If God is using that song to minister, you stay on it. Why do you got to do three songs, three new songs? You know, what is it, like a new song, an old song, and a hymn, and what, you know, like all the things that churches make up, you know, like. And so to hear that as a worship pastor, it was difficult because I liked to be creative. And, you know, of course, you're trying to keep up with the Joneses and... But it really set me free, you know? And so this morning, I'm reading to you out a passage of scripture that has just every single day, I just can't get away from it. And we're going to see what the Lord has. So Colossians 1, chapter 15, excuse me, Colossians 1, verse 15. Christ is the invisible image, excuse me, I can read this morning. I should probably take another drink of coffee. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Jesus is in everything. Through him, it says that God created everything. That's what we just read. Through him, God created everything. So that means in every human, there are 100 trillion cells. And in every cell, there are 100 trillion atoms. And in every atom, there is one Jesus. Through him, God created everything. Jesus is in everything. Everything was created, right? What does it say in Colossians? Everything was created through him and for him. So your heart beats 100,000 times a day for him. Think about that, church. Your brain processes 70,000 thoughts a day for him. Your body regenerates 330 billion cells every single day for him. I think they say every 7 years your body actually fully regenerates itself. So whether you believe you're a new creation or not, give it 7 years.
Can I add something to that, babe?
Please, yeah.
You know the studies that say when you sleep, your cells regenerate? How beautiful, because everything's spiritual with the Lord. So how beautiful that as we rest, our cells regenerate. As we rest in him, which is trusting him, as we trust our Heavenly Father, our cells respond. And you don't need a fancy doctor for that. trusting him is for free. And it literally does something to the cells in our body.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's really good, babe. He holds all of...
Yeah.
Go for it. There.
Nope. Oh. Well, okay.
I got...
No, go ahead.
This is like when we're trying to go to bed at night, and I'm like, all right, good night, babe. Good night. Love you. Hey, Brandon. Okay. No, it's cool.
No, I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll stay on track.
Going back to Colossians, he holds all of creation together. So think about it. Come on, all you Northwesterners that you live out here because you can still see grass, right? There's not a Lennar development on every street corner yet. He holds all of creation together. That means that every single tree grows because of him. Every cloud forms. This is not poetry. I'm telling you, this is what I believe. If he holds all of creation together, every cloud forms because of him. The 3.5 trillion fish in the ocean swim because of him. Think about it that way. The average size lawn has 130 million blades of grass in it. And every single one of those lawn, every single one of those blades of grass takes root.
Yeah, right.
I believe,
right.
Because the word says he holds all of creation together. It's because of him. Jesus is in everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You can be in the room with your wife, and if you do not acknowledge her, she's just a roommate. You can be in the room with the person that you committed your life to, right? That you remember the day you met, you made these vows and these covenants, you love her, you have children with her, right? You can be in the very room with that person, but if you do not acknowledge her, she is just a roommate. And that relationship is broken. And if we are willing to acknowledge that Jesus is in everything, that same excitement like the first day you found him or the first day Jesus found you, it comes back to life. I'm not passionate. Why? Because maybe he's just your roommate and he wants to be your lover. Amen. He wants you to acknowledge that I am in the room with you, Brandon.
Yeah, right.
This isn't real wood, but you can pretend. I'm in the grass outside of that window making it grow. I'm in the trees. This is what the word says. Amen. I'm in your relationship. I'm even in your teenagers. And we acknowledge him. And that's where the power and the glory, that's where revival is found. Let's read on in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything, we could say everyone, in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Verse 21, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Get my Billy Brim on. It is one thing to believe in Jesus, which is good. You guys don't have to come up yet if you don't want to. Sorry. I was in worship ministry for so long, you know, and they, like, it would all be about, like, the cues and, like, when you come up and, you know, so I love just calling it out when people are coming up, like, hey, Dina, you can go sit down. Okay, thank you. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, all right, no turning back. So what I was saying before I interrupted myself, it's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to know he lives in you. Those are good, but it's a whole nother level to know that you are holy and blameless without a single fault.
Right.
Think about that. I was told last week that my preaching is too self-deprecating, and that I'm too honest about my issues and too critical of my faults. right? Yes, it's true. But why? Because this is my greatest testimony. This is my greatest testimony that a guy like me, right, can stand before a God like him, faultless. What? Blameless? Can anybody connect with that this morning? That people like us, in all that we've done, in all that we're doing, in all that you know I'm going to do this afternoon, I can stand before him. And if that's self-deprecating, then give me a name tag that doesn't say Pastor Brandon. It says self-deprecating Brandon. Make it this big, because I can stand before him. Despite who I am, and not even just who I was, but who I am, I can do this.
Yeah, right.
When back in the day, I would have been the guy that stood up and got ready to sing a song, and God would have struck dead with a lightning bolt and turned into a pillar of salt and got, you know, swallowed by a whale afterwards. Like, I would have been that guy, and I know some of you guys.
Yeah, right. Oh.
You want me to point? Mark, you're perfect. Whatever. Yeah.
Shannon's shaking.
Shannon's
her head.
Like, no, he's not.
No, he's not.
We're not living in Florida yet. He's not perfect. I gotcha. Next Saturday, it's your turn, right? Yeah. All right.
That's what makes God so great.
Yes.
Right?
It's that my testimony isn't necessarily like financial related or healing related. It's Jesus related.
Right?
It's Jesus related. It's Colossians 1:20 kind of stuff, right? Where it said, and through Jesus, God reconciled me to himself. He made peace with me in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Verse 21, this includes me, who was once far away from God.
Yeah, right.
This is the good news. It's not a sermon series. It has no artwork to it. There's not a special song written by the band just to make royalties. It's the gospel. It's the good news. So you can keep your cars and your watches and your you know, diplomas and all the things that everybody else has that I don't. Just give me Jesus. That's my testimony. That's what I put my focus on every day. If I had a vision board, it would have a picture of Jesus on it. What's your vision for this year? Jesus. What kind of house are you believing for, Brandon? Jesus. Because maybe all those other people are so great at keeping their eye on Jesus while praying 100 times a day for a big house, but not this guy. I need to keep my eyes on Jesus and know that in him is my wisdom, my righteousness. It's my strength. It's my redemption. It's my salvation. In him, he's the light unto my path. Lead me to whatever freaking house you want me to, God. I don't care if it's a mansion or a shack or a place called Brandon's Bait in Hayward, Wisconsin. Can I get an amen? I don't care, because if my eyes are on Jesus, it doesn't matter how much or how little is in my bank account. It doesn't matter how good or naughty my teenagers are. It doesn't matter how big or small this church is, because I got the fullness of fullness in all fullness of fullness.
Yeah, right.
Jesus, right? And he gives me a joy that no dollar bill can give me. And he gives me a peace that no psychologist can give me. And he gives me the kind of healing that no doctor or supplement or one of those weird guys that tests your muscles. And you're like, why am I paying so much for this guy to test my muscles? What's happening right now? Jesus is all of those things. Amen, church? God, I'm getting a headache. I do. I need some more coffee. And you're like, no, you don't. All right, I'm going to put on my cynical saint voice here, right? That's all fine and dandy, Pastor Brandon. I can believe that Jesus is in everything, but I don't see him. Let's just be honest, right? You're like, Brandon, that's great preaching, and it's a little cliche, though. I don't see him. No one sees him all the time. Because if we could see him all the time, it wouldn't require us to have faith. And if we don't have faith, then Jesus can't move that freaking mountain that you're complaining about in the first place. I'm sorry. I got yelled at for saying freaking once. But it's the truth. So can we please quit underestimating Jesus? Gosh, we underestimate Jesus because we have these limitations and we say, well, because these are limitations, then those are the limitations that I have to live by. No, acknowledge those limitations, church, and then give them to the wonderful, into the wonderful hands of Jesus and see what he does with them. Because he might say, hey, bro, Brandon, those limitations are to protect you, so you better follow them. They're called boundaries, right? Or he might say, hey, Brandon, let me enlarge your territory. Let me show you a breakthrough, right? He might say that. Oh, but don't scream for a breakthrough if that breakthrough is going to kill you. Some of you can't handle a breakthrough right now. And so the Lord's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Live in those limitations for a little while because I'm using those limitations to elevate your faith. I'm using those limitations to thicken your skin. I'm using those limitations to give you a strength that you didn't have before. So don't be begging me for breakthrough yet, Brandon. Just live in those limitations. That's a word for somebody this morning. Because then when the time is right, and I have led you down the path of peace. In my timing, I will deposit into you, says the Lord, what is needed, not just for life, but the God kind of life. Not just for joy, but the God kind of joy. Not just healing from a doctor, because then the testimony goes to him or her. No, I want the glory, says the Lord. So just wait in your limitations. And when the time is right, because you have given those limitations to me, says the Lord, I will break through those limitations and you will be ready. You will be ready. You will be ready to walk in the call and the purpose that I have put on your life. So don't look at those limitations as a weakness. Look at those limitations as an island. As an island that you are to rest on. And you may see the expansive sea around you. And you may see all the opportunities around you. But as you rest secluded, almost feeling abandoned on this island, let me tell you that above you is the sun. And I see you, and I see where you're at, and I see what you're going through, says the Lord. I see how you're thirsty. I see how you're hungry. I see how you're lonely. I see how you want a greater purpose. I see it all. But this is not the right time, says the Lord. Whoever this is for, this is not the right time to step into that call, but it is the right time to lean into me and let me strengthen you for what is, what will come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So if we're not underestimating Jesus, we can quit overcomplicating his plans. I'm that guy, right? We want to do what? Let me get my spreadsheet out. You know what I'm saying? Let me budget out 4 years from now just in case. There might be a recession. We might all be working for China. I don't know. You just think of all the things, right? Anybody else like that? And you spreadsheet the crap out of that thing. And then you decide, well, even though the Lord played a song on the radio that said, jump, I'm not going to do it. Right? Colossians 1:23. Because if we're not undermining Jesus, if we're not underestimating him, we can quit blaming him. We can quit overcomplicating. We can quit giving up on him so easily when things get hard. We can quit blaming him for the outcomes, and we can change our minds about how much we trust him. Yes, Jesus is in everything, Colossians 1:23, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news.
Yeah, right. So an example in the Bible of what you're saying.
Yeah.
that goes along with what the Lord's saying to us this morning. You know, our purpose in life is to be loved by God, and then to love Him back, and then to love others. Simple, right? Life flows from that. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that when we're so distracted by our difficulties. You know the story of Job. And when Job was walking through the hardest time of his life, and he was suffering in every area of his life, he had lost everything and everyone in his life. The only thing he had left was that he was alive, but he didn't want to be. Because he was alive, but he wasn't experiencing life. And his friends told him it was his fault why all these things were happening. So that's fun. And so Job was at the end of his rope, and what was going on in his mind is, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is all this happening? I don't understand. Well, then in Job 38, the Lord encounters him. And he reveals himself to Job through his creation. And I'm going to read Job 38, not the whole chapter, but just a chunk. This is what the Lord said to Job. Job, what supports the earth's foundations, and who laid its cornerstone as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, have you, Job, ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you, Job, made the daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? Where does light come from? Where does darkness go? Can you, Job, take it to its home? Do you know how it got there? But of course you know all this, for you were born before it was all created, and you're so very experienced. This is the Lord being sarcastic to Job.
The Lord loves sarcasm.
He does. He's winking at him, right? Have you visited the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of hail? Where is the path to the source of light, and where is the home to the east wind? Who created a channel for the torrents of rain? Who laid out the path for the lightning to go? Who makes the rain fall on barren land in a desert where no one lives? Who sends rain to satisfy the parched ground and make the tender grass spring up? Does the rain have a father? Who gives birth to the dew? Who is the mother of ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? Can you, Job, direct the movement of the stars, binding the cluster of the Pleiades or loosening the cords of Orion, which are the constellations? And he just continues to reveal himself through his creation in the next few chapters, talking to Job and pointing him to himself in creation. And in Job's sorrow and grief and questions of why was this all happening, the Lord didn't come to him and say, Job, stop it. Just get over it. I'm leaving you, and I'm going to go hang out with somebody with a happier outlook on life. He didn't say that. The Lord came to Job in the midst of his crisis, in the pit of hell that he was desperate to just die in, right? And he pulled Job up, personally encountering him out of that pit by telling him about creation. It's like he said, Job, son, let's go outside for a minute. Do you see all that dew covering everything? I did that. You see the sun rising? I made that. I do it every morning. And when you see the stars and the constellations, I hung each one there. I named each one. I placed it there. So it's like this picture in the sky. And Job, this one blade of grass that's growing after a long, harsh winter, I'm making it grow. And Job, I did it all for you. And he says, all that you see, I created, I take care of, and I care about. But do you know what, Job? With all of the beauty and all of the wonder of this creation, none of it pales in comparison to how I feel about you. How I think about you, how I find joy in you, how I delight in you, because you are more to me than just my creation. You are my child, and I will always provide for you and always protect you. I will always love you. I will always choose you. The Lord did not answer Job's questions for why. He answered who the Lord is and who Job is. And what happened is in that place of belonging and love and identity, Job was able to embrace the mysteries of life, right? And then the Lord took it a step further, and he wanted to heal Job even more. And he says, Job, I want you to pray for your friends who, right, were enemies at that point because they had abandoned him, rejected him. They accused him of things that he did not do. But the Lord wanted to heal Job's heart. This is the Lord taking care of his heart. Because through Job praying for his friends slash enemies, the Lord would help him forgive. And the Lord would help him love people in his life that are difficult. And this was good, of course, for his friends, right? But it's to set Job free. It's to soften his heart so that he can receive even more from the Lord. It's to open the eyes of his heart so that he can see things, his life, people in his life, through God's perspective. It changes, right? And it was to show Job his purpose, which, let me love you, Job, you love me back, and we'll love other people together, right? Life flows from that, even if you've lost everything. And I believe, in my opinion, Job could have died a happy man just right there because he was fulfilled in the Lord, right? But the Lord wanted to take it further, and he wanted to bless him beyond his wildest dreams, right? And in Job 42, verse 10, 16, and 17, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Job lived 140 years after that, living to see four generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died, an old man who had lived a long, full life. And the Lord spoke to him initially through his creation. This is who I am, Job. This is who you are, right?
So powerful. We can spend our time searching for verses on healing and searching for verses on wisdom and searching for verses on peace. Or you can just see Jesus in it all like that. I believe our call is pastors is to help you continue on in this walk of faith, right? And to stand firm, like Colossians says, no matter how crazy life gets, and to see Jesus in everything. So what I want to do is ask, you know, Pastor Lexi and the crew to help me show you Jesus on another level, another layer, through this song that ministered to me this week. So if I could have the ushers come and help me get this table out of here. And church, there's no rhyme or reason to this. We don't do this all the time. If you want to stand, if you want to sit, if you want to worship, let's just choose to find Jesus.
Thank you. of creation, there at the start before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of a light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born, in the vapor of your breath the planets fall. If the stars were made to worship, so will I can see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. Promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. Oh, and as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you say. If it all reveals your nature, so will I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. Oh, so will I. Oh, so. So will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still fall shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion down my heart through all of my failures and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion things disappear. We lost your life so I can find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Work of art called the love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart in a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But when measure could amount to your desire, you're the one who never leaves the one behind. You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Many of you have heard of Dr. Charles Stanley. He recently passed away. His purpose and his legacy is just, it's like unmatched what he left this world. But there's something he said about purpose that really hit me in a different way. He said, have you been asking God what he is going to do? He will never tell you. God does not tell you what he's going to do. He reveals to you who he is. And that's why I believe our simple, just uncomplicated purpose in this world is one thing. To know Jesus, to see him. You say, Lord, what's the next job you want me to take? And he says, just see me in the job you're already in. Say, God, what's your purpose for me after college? And he says, just see the purpose I have for you in every class you're already taking. Maybe you're single and you're saying, God, I just have this desire to be married. And he says, just let me love you. And it's just the two of us. Our purpose, seeing him and everything that's around us in the place that it's pleased him to put us, seeing him in every moment, in every relationship, in every conversation, seeing him in every chance encounter out in the church lobby or in the aisle at Target or the drive-thru at Starbucks, seeing him when you go home and spend some time with your wife or your kids, seeing him even in those times when you're alone in the silence of your own room, feeling desperate, feeling lost, feeling unseen, feeling the sting of depression, seeing him even in those moments right there with you. And as he takes whatever it is that you have to give him, and he transforms it, and he transforms us from the inside out. Let me tell you, the reflection, the light that comes through us, that alone is what will impact, change, move, refresh others around us. That is our witness. It's not what we're doing for Christ. It's what he's doing in us. It's not a difficult thing that way. It's not a challenge. It's not a work. It's not this stressful situation. How do I parent, God? What do I need to do differently? God, show me I'm struggling. He says, let me just be your parent. And through that, he says, I will transform your children. God, how do I manage these teams? How do I manage these people? How do I lead these people? I'm not like John Maxwell. I'm not like Stephen Furtick. I'm not like all these people, Father. How do I lead? And he says, let me lead you. And watch. It's through your experiences with me. I will give you the experience you need to lead others. Let's just think about that for a second, that every cell in us right now is responding to its creator. Every atom inside of every single one of those cells inside of you and me right now is activated by the life of God. You've been believing for a healing. Takes on a whole different perspective, knowing that even inside of those atoms, there are sound waves vibrating with the word of life. When he spoke you into existence, those sound waves produced atoms, and those atoms produced cells, and those cells produced everything that you are and everything that we're standing on and everything that's around us. It wasn't made by man's hands. It wasn't put together by a general contractor because of our savings account. It was God breathed to the point where it's literally all made out of sound. His word. Terry, as you struggle today and remember what was lost, it's his word on the inside of you that reminds you of what he has truly given you. That he's truly been your anchor and your stability. He's truly been the love of your life. And every cell in you, as it feels like it aches at times, the cells are there reminding you that the love that you felt for your daughter doesn't even come close to the love that he feels for you right now. See, church, the questions that you have, they don't faze him, they don't move him. Because dare I say, when we speak out the questions and we speak out the doubt, when we speak out even our fears, we are speaking, and even the sound waves were created in his image. And that means that even in our fear, he is there and he is speaking to that fear on our behalf, interceding on our behalf. That even in our doubtful words, he is there and he is speaking when we can't speak because there's too many questions. And even as we cry out of anger or fear or regret, he is in every single atom of those tears saying, I am there even in the midst of that. When others have told you not to fear, when others have told you not to be afraid, when others have told you you need to stay in faith, I say, more than you staying in faith, why don't you focus on me staying with you? I am faith. Today, church, the faith that you need to move mountains is not dependent on your faith in moving mountains. It's dependent on your faith in the faith
that Jesus had, which was perfect, which is why God the Father sees you as perfect and entire, lacking nothing. He sees you as blameless and faultless because he's not looking at what you've done. He's looking through the eyes, through the blood of his son Jesus, and he sees you with the same kind of love and forgiveness and even respect that he sees his son Jesus. Let me say that again. He sees you this morning, dear child of God, with respect. He respects who you are. He respects what you're doing with your life. He respects and honors the effort that you've made. Whoever that's for, let it be known that he sees you this morning. And he's impressed by the person that you've become, because you've allowed him to bring you to this point. He says that he's not impressed by what you've done by the work of your hands, but he's impressed that when so many others kept working with their hands, you just let him do the work for you. You let him lead you. When everyone else was telling you to follow this principle or that principle, these five keys, those five keys, you let him lead you. There's a couple people in here that need to make a big decision. Maybe you've been like me and you're kind of waffling back and forth. And I had this, I believe it's by the Spirit of God. It was just kind of a vision of something that I want to do with you this morning. It might be painless. It might not. So if that resonated with you when I was talking about this decision that I have to make being difficult, this is going to be really weird, and I apologize, but it's always weird in here. If you could just come up here, I want to just do something kind of like symbolic. You know, when people made vows in the Old Testament and they made a covenant, they would cut an animal in two and they would lay it out and they would walk in a figure eight around it, and it was a whole thing. It was symbolic, right? And I want to do that. If that's you, and you have a big decision to make and you're not sure what to make, would you mind coming up here with me? It'll just take a couple minutes. It might be just one. It might be a couple. Okay. So, can you guys kind of spread out this, like, you're going to need just a little bit of space. So, like, but everybody on the stage, if you wouldn't mind just coming up here and facing everybody, it's just going to really trigger you all. And so if you could just stand up here on the stage. Yeah. And feel the fear that I feel every Sunday. People think this is easy for me. I'm on a lot of meds to make this happen, people. All right, so this is what I saw. And maybe I'll do this. Oh, Lord. The Lord speaks through everything. Even Eddie. He speaks through Eddie. And what I see happening this morning is kind of symbolic. If you have like weak hips or weak knees, don't do this. Nobody left? All right, then we're all doing this. And let me tell you, this can be powerful. I remember when we had that big trampoline at the movie theater. Do you guys remember that? The one with the trampoline. It's out there online somewhere, unfortunately. And
the whole point was people were like, I don't even remember the point. People were jumping and stuff and just getting free and hashing it out with the Lord. And Allie came up and the Lord was like, don't let her jump on the trampoline. It's like I heard it clear as day in my head. And I mean, we'd never met. I didn't know none of the mess. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, go under the trampoline with her. And I was like, well, this is inappropriate, Lord. And I'm going to get in trouble. So we went under the trampoline. And we sat there. And the Lord told me, hey, let her know that she is safe under here. Everything else going on around, she's safe under here. And he sees her under there, right? And then I came to find out, gosh, months later, just all that she was facing and the challenges. And even more recently, like really where you came from and the sacrifices that you've made. And I was like, thank you, God, for that stupid trampoline. Well, you guys are going to thank God for this stupid thing I'm doing with you this morning. All right? I believe it. Because it changes everything. So what we're going to do is, I believe that what I'm hearing, because you guys came up here, I believe that what I'm hearing for you is that word jump. That whatever decision you've been needing to make, that now is the time to just do it. To jump. And for some of you, that jump is going to look like, I really want to do that, but I'm going to take a leap of faith and not do that. You know what I'm saying? For some of you, it's going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm going to jump out of the boat, onto the water, and just, you know, just in case they're right, pray to God that I don't sink. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to ask all of you guys to engage your hearts in this, because this isn't a show. Like, I really believe it. I really believe it, you know, that there are times where he does stuff like this, and this is not for you, and this is not for this church, you know. In fact, let's just cut the stream. Sorry, stream, we love you. Bye. See you next Sunday, right? Just to show you that it's not about who's watching online. It's not about that, you guys. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a leap of faith together. Okay? And you can get as far as you can. Like, you can land on Simeon's lap. You can land on Lexi's lap. You can land on Dar's lap. She's little, so be careful. She's like a little tiny little lady. Dar, you want to come here? I'll land on you. And we're going to take a leap of faith together. Okay? I'm serious. And if you're like, I don't know if I can land. I did this once from a stage with a guitar trying to be cool during a rehearsal. And I hit the bleachers and broke my guitar. 1990 American Telecaster. Broke it in half. Anyway, you can do that. But let's just together, we're going to take this leap forward. Maybe it's just a step forward. Maybe you can only take a half a step down, and then you got to take another half a step down, a little step at a time. This church is here for you. Because if you jump off here and you take this leap of faith, guess what? If you fall, guess what? Caleb's catching you. Josiah's catching you. We're catching you. Kathy's catching you. Dar, she's going to try and catch us. She's going to try so hard with her little tiny body. Heidi, we're going to catch you. 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 How many times have I failed in this very building? And they caught me. They caught me. They caught me. They caught me. So we're going to do that together. Gosh, you know what would be sweet? Can we pull up that song? You guys are way too spiritual. Some of you guys have been giving me the dead stare this whole time. I'm just going to break every religious bone in our bodies today. Jump! We're going to see if we can pull up this song. Just tell me if you can't. Yeah. Can you find it? Van Halen. Yeah. Adam's ready to come out here and sing it. Can we get it? We can't get it. Okay. Can you guys give me the line? Can you guys do that line for me? Do you guys know it?
What? Oh, we only listen to KTIS. And we only drink non-alcoholic beer. Yeah.
Awkward. I love it. I love it. Kurt, you got it on. We got it. We got it on a phone. Can we? Here we go. Turn Lexi's mic on. Here, we got it. Start it over. This is spare no expense. All right. Are you guys feeling that? Michael, I knew you'd have it. Are you guys feeling this? That's right. Eat this, mega church. Yeah. You guys feeling it now? Now, this is what I want you to do, you guys. This is like every morning. You got to wake up. You turn that key, right? And you hear this song, and then you jump into your day. This is so lame, you guys. I'm so sorry. But, like, somebody get a picture of this. But this is what we're doing, right? You guys need to lighten up, and I feel the Lord genuinely saying that to you. Lighten up and realize that this is like Stephen Curtis Chapman's Great Adventure. This is going to be better than you could have expected in your wildest dreams. That's what the Word says. He will go far beyond those expectations that you have. He will say, I brought you to church this morning. You five people, I brought you to church this morning to play this stupid song to show you that I hear you, that you need to make a decision. And He says, I hear you. I see you. And I'm going to help you make that decision this morning. How do you guys want to do this? Do you want to do it one at a time? Or do you want to do like a Saved by the Bell freeze frame jump? Yeah. What do you guys want? Saved by the Bell? Yeah. I see those blank stares.
Yes, we can have yeah.
You guys ready for this? Okay, we're going to do this together. Please don't hurt yourself. You're not insured. Ready? 3, 2, 1, jump! There you go. There you go. There you go. Seriously, though. Like, it's this jump. Yeah, people are leaving already. I got it. I would leave, too. It's okay. Seriously, though, I want to say this to you guys just real briefly here before we close. Like, it is the foolish things of the Lord, let me tell you, that put to shame all the intellect and the education of the world. Because what seems foolish to them, it's wisdom and it's breakthrough in God's kingdom. And so I know it's silly and it seems silly, but let me tell you, you won't forget this moment. And I believe you won't forget it not just because it was weird, but I believe you won't forget it because we believe as a church family that from this moment forward, that decision that you've decided in your mind, He's going to give you the strength and the fortitude and the stability and the resource to do that thing that you've decided to do. And let me encourage you, this decision is not from your mind. It's from the heart of God. It's from the heart of God because He's in you. And you have a good heart. You have a good heart. You do. You have a good heart. You have such a good heart, you guys. And so we're here to support you. And that's our commitment to you is like, hey, guys, you made me stand on this stupid stage and jump in front of you all. So now you better help. Yeah. And all God's people said, amen. Because we've all been there where we've made a decision that we need help with, right? So please don't hesitate. Whatever it is, we're here to support you. Amen. That's going to be our word this week, jump. Who'd have thought? That's going to be our word this week. I know. I'm getting some really weird looks right now. I love you guys so much. It's the only reason I act this way is because I trust you and I love you. And I'm excited to see what God does in your life this week, okay? We'll see you back here hopefully next week, all right?
Hey, thanks for taking the time to listen to what God has put on our hearts. If you need someone to pray with you or for you, join Heidi and I Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central Time on Facebook. And just know we're grateful to the Lord that He's given us this time with you. God bless.